Let us pray. Almighty Son, incarnate Word, our prophet, priest, Redeemer, Lord, before your throne we sinners bend. To us your saving grace extend. Amen. I know a young bloke who we'll call Tyler. When Tyler was 14, his mum, with whom he lived, invited him to leave home. I say invited, so Tyler relocated to a new city and moved in with his older brother, who only a few months later also invited him to leave home. So poor Tyler was suddenly bequeathed the task of finding himself accommodation, getting himself a job, getting himself through school, and trying to make a way in the world on his own at 14. Needless to say, the next few years were not easy ones, and after a couple of years, Tyler was feeling that he was losing his way, losing his footing, losing his traction in life. He could see what was happening in the lives of young friends of his in similar circumstances. And he felt that if he didn't take some kind of decisive action, his life would chart a similar downward curve to the one he was witnessing in his friends' lives. But by some chance, one of his friends introduced Tyler to a church. And through those circles, he identified some guys a little older than himself whose character and lives bore traits that he was hungry for in his own life. And so Tyler decided to do his best to hang around them and glean what he could. The circle he adopted had some wise and creative people in it. Tyler had chosen well. And over the years following, a sequence of random acts of kindness, secret benefactions, a little bit of advocacy, and the blessing of the normal activities of life shared meant that the trajectory of Tyler's life began to shift and describe a better curve. Today, Tyler is a grown man in gainful employ, happily married, and blissfully raising his little boy. But I managed to reduce him to tears the other day, inadvertently, when I told him that I reckoned he should give God some credit for his turnaround. My own household had been a small part of the circle he had adopted, and I told him, "I think God had his eye on you. I think he put you on our hearts. Because all through that dicey period, those dicey years, there wasn't a single day that we didn't sit down together and pray for you. I wonder if you are aware of similar benevolent influences in your life, whether from parents or relatives or teachers or a friend or even a stranger, some anonymous angel, people whose support or input or just friendship has strengthened the course of your life in some way. You might want to say, well, Paul, I wish I did have people like that in my life. I could have done with that. Or your story may be different. You might want to say, well, actually, Paul, I've done it all alone, myself. I have only myself to thank for this success that you now see standing before you. But I reckon that most of us, from time to time, could do with an advocate, a champion, a helper, a companion, a teacher, a guide, a sympathetic ear, a supportive shoulder. Our text from Hebrews 7 is part of a great theme developed in that letter, reminding us that every one of us has such a helper in the person of Jesus. Hebrews 2 verse 11 says, Jesus is not ashamed to be your brother. Hebrews 2:18 says that he helps us when we face tests and temptations. Hebrews 4:16 says that Jesus is able to sympathize with our weakness and will help us find mercy and grace in our times of need. Hebrews 5 verse 2 says that Jesus, as a high priest, deals gently with people acting in ignorance and going astray. Greatest help of all, we heard in the passage read this morning in Hebrews 7:25, Jesus is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he lives eternally to intercede for them. The letter of Hebrews draws back the curtain, allows you to see Jesus's acts of kindness towards you, his secret benefactions, his advocacy for you. These ways in which Hebrews describes Jesus' ministry towards us strongly echo how the New Testament talks about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In John's Gospel, Jesus tells us that in coming to us, the Holy Spirit will be our counselor, helper, strengthener, companion, guide, and teacher. And in Romans 8, the Apostle Paul describes the Holy Spirit as our advocate and intercessor. Do you know the Holy Spirit that way? Just like the work of Tyler's circle of older friends, much of the work of Jesus and the Holy Spirit in our lives is secret and unseen, creatively, subtly shifting the trajectory of our lives. On occasion, the curtain may be drawn back, and we see his hand in the help of a relative or friend or even a stranger. When this happens, and the helping hand of a friend or stranger is extended your way, let it be a reminder, because it is a sign to you that secretly you have a high priest interceding for you, one who sacrificed himself for your sins and shortcomings and lives to advocate for you. Who advocated for Bartimaeus, the blind beggar in Jericho? Mark 10:48 that we heard read says, many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. Luke, in his report of the same incident in Luke 18, implies that Jesus' own followers were telling this poor man to be quiet. This is a reminder that there may be times when you and I may have to disregard the many, as did Job, and take encouragement from the one. In that passage, in Mark 10, it is Jesus himself who stops what he is doing, who hears the one voice above the hubbub of the crowd, and who calls the man to him and asks him, what would you like me to do for you? Perhaps a helping hand that has been extended to you in the past week is offering you a sign that Jesus is asking you the exact same question. What would you like me to do for you? How will you answer? Perhaps your hand extended in help in the week ahead might help another person to realize that Jesus is for them also a secret helper and champion and advocate, able not only to sympathize, but as Hebrews reminds us, to save completely. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.